The readings this evening give us lots to reflect upon. This 19th Sunday in ordinary time. If at the end of the gospel that we just heard, if you've ever wondered about the church's teaching on purgatory, is this just something that we made up? Or is it really the direct will and mind of God? Clearly here in this story that Jesus tells, there is the servant who receives the fullness of the inheritance and the one that's banished to the unfaithful and says he will be, how does it say it here? Beaten severely, but in Greek it says he'll be cut in two. So there's no coming back from that. But then those who should have known better and didn't do quite as bad as they maybe could have done, they receive beatings, light beatings. So after that final coming, after that judgment, there are more than just two definitive decisions that could be made for our salvation. There's that in-between where he gives the image of being beaten. And we'll leave it at that, but this is one of the foundational texts that the church can look to see that there's something more after the second coming and by which we will be judged and beaten or purified, made perfect in the mind and the heart of God. But the last two sentences, that much will be required of the person entrusted with much. And still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more. You know, as Catholics, we've received everything. The fullness of revelation. The fullness of God's gift to us. Through the scriptures, through the liturgy, through the sacraments, particularly, especially the most blessed sacrament, Jesus Christ himself. What more could God have done for us? We've received everything. So what has been our response? Because that was the whole point of that story Jesus told. How do we respond to the gift that we've been given? Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, more demanded of the person entrusted with more. It's a good point of reflection for us. Because this more that we have received began in our baptism. When we were dead in our sin, either as an infant or as an adult, regardless of when we were baptized, we were dead in our sin, separated from the Father, lacking sanctifying grace, and out of a sheer gift of the Father, he poured his love into us, poured the Spirit into us, poured his very life into us. And we say part of what happens in baptism is that we are infused with the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. And we heard about faith in the scriptures, especially in that second reading from Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, it says so many times in that chapter. We had the long version of the reading today, but the chapter is even longer. And it's a beautiful exposition of what faith does to the hearts of men who hear God calling. And as the first reading said, to know the oath and have the courage to follow, the courage to stay faithful to the oaths, the promises, the covenants in which we've entered. And we entered into the covenant through our baptism. Do we know that? That's what he says. With sure knowledge of the oath in which they put their faith, they might have courage. Why do we need courage? Because the devil is real. And we're in the front line of this battle for salvation, this battle for souls. And if we don't have the courage, if we don't have the sure knowledge of the promises of Jesus Christ, the promises of God our Father, then we will falter. We will be taken out. The devil doesn't relent. But this is why we need the sure knowledge of the oaths so we can have the courage to persevere. So do you have courage? Are you aware that you're in this spiritual battle? Do you feel the attacks of the evil one? We celebrated St. John Vianney earlier last week. He said, those of us who are in the throes of sin, the devil doesn't mess with us because he already has us. It's only those of us who are striving to live lives of virtue and grace that the devil attacks. So do you feel the attacks of the devil? That means you're on the right path. It means the Lord is with you, calling you, so that by faith, like Abraham, you can persevere to the end. The faith you receive in your baptism, it's this virtue that enables us to believe what God has said. It enables us. It doesn't force us. We don't get brainwashed. We don't get like downloaded a new operating system. It gives us the ability, the capacity to understand and to believe. And this is the role of parents and godparents and grandparents. That when you get married in the church, the priest or deacon will ask you if you're open to receiving children and raising them in the faith. When you bring your child to be baptized, we ask you once again, do you understand your responsibility of passing on the faith? And then we pray over the parents that they would be the best and first examples, teachers of the faith to their children. So are you living your life by faith to teach your children what it means to be men and women of faith, who, as the opening prayer said, we have the courage to call God our Father, that we can live into the fullness of our adoption as sons and daughters so that we can enjoy the fullness of God's promise. Remember last week, Jesus says, which father gives their son a scorpion or a stone when they ask for the things they need? How much more does the Father in heaven pour out the Holy Spirit upon his children? And today he said, fear not, little flock. Do not be afraid any longer, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. You know, when the readings are as long as they are today, and if we're not in the habit of reading the scriptures, if we don't know God's word in the Bible, we can miss all these little beautiful nuggets, these little jewels of grace. Do we realize that our Father in heaven is pleased to give us the kingdom? Just like last week, he's pleased to pour out the Holy Spirit upon us. And this is why we live lives of faith. That faith is that certainty, that knowledge of what God has said, what God has taught, of who he is. So like Abraham, and when you go back to Hebrews 11 and see all these other figures from the Old Testament who live lives of faith, that these men, these women who hear the voice of God calling, and like Abraham, they're called from a place that they know, a place of comfort, to a place they know not. And they live their lives as sojourners, as exiles, as men and women on a journey to the promised land. This is the model for each one of us. The Father is pleased to do this for us, to call us out of our comfort zones to a place that we know not. But maybe we do know it. Because Jesus also says the kingdom of God is at hand. And we know that Jesus Christ is the kingdom of God. So when the Father calls us to himself, we already begin to taste, a foretaste of the heavenly kingdom that's waiting for us if we live a life of grace, faithful to the oath, if we live a life of courage and devotion. Are we responding to this beautiful invitation? Parents, grandparents, have we done our part to break open that seed of faith your child received in baptism? Is your life an example to them of what a life by faith looks like? Can your children look at you and have confidence that what God has said is true, and that you live a life of faith, which then pours into a life of hope, meaning you make choices confident that what God has said will come true. You believe it and you live it. This is what's at stake. Because as Jesus went on to say, there are severe consequences to our inaction, to our lack of decision. The Mother Church gives us these readings today to remind us, to encourage us, to inspire us. And we have the great grace to have our Blessed Mother with us, this statue. These statues are good. You know, we're humans, we're not spirits, that we need physical things. This is why God became man and sanctified the things of the world, so that through the things of the world, we can get a touch, a taste of God the Father. So when we have statues, it's not we don't worship this idol, but it's a reminder to us of how pleased the Father is to give us everything, even his own mother. And she lives to make intercession for each one of us, especially for the families, especially for the broken families. Whatever that means, however you can define that, she wants to bring healing and restoration to your family. We were given the seed of faith in our baptism through a life of virtue, through a life of grace, primarily sacramental grace. That seed of faith grows, it matures, it becomes fruitful in our life, so that we can hear the voice of God calling us from a land that we know to a land that we know not. And with courage, we can sojourn through this exile, through this desert, so that what we sang in the responsorial psalm, we can rejoice knowing that blessed are the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. That's each one of us. That's each one of you. You are blessed. The Lord has chosen you. He has called you, and he will never stop. Ask for the grace to energize those seeds of faith, to call upon God as Father with courage, trusting that his promises will come true, that one day you will receive the fullness of God's glory. One day you will inherit the fullness of God's kingdom.